And we're back. You're listening to a Shunpikers Journal on the Michigan Business Network. Our guest is Dani LeBlanc. She's a Lemon Law attorney from Birmingham, Michigan. And we're talking about flood-damaged cars from the recent hurricanes. Actually, we've had a big one in Texas. We've got another one focused on the East Coast right now, so this may be a long-running topic here. So, Dani, let's talk now a little bit about who you can sue and what the criteria are and that sort of thing.
Okay, well, certainly we can start with the dealer who sold the bad car. Mm-hmm. And if the dealer knew, there's certainly fraud claims and other statutory claims that can be brought. Even if the dealer actually didn't know, it's still considered a mutual mistake and it's still a breach of warranty of title. Mm-hmm. Because in order for title to be valid, it has to be not only that it's unencumbered, in other words, there's no lien on the vehicle that was undisclosed, but it has to be freely transferable. Well, if anybody knows that the vehicle's been flood damaged, it's not freely transferable because most people, that would take a significant portion of the market out of the running because people just wouldn't buy a car like that. So you've got the dealer who's involved. Then usually it starts way back with an insurance company who totaled out the vehicle and then put it back in the stream of commerce in such a way that it could get resold without having proper branded title on it. Although that doesn't always happen, there's times when dealers buy at auction and rebuild the vehicle and then run it through a couple different states until they can get the brand washed off the title.
Right.
So that they can resell it and make a lot more money.
And that would be entirely fraudulent, would it be not? Would it not?
Completely fraudulent. Right. And when you see that, typically what we do as attorneys is we will order all of the title histories from every state that that vehicle has been through. And that way we can usually track down who was doing the title washing. And once you see that, that's what's considered a red flag or an indicator of deliberate fraud. And everybody at the chain of title can be sued. And one of the things that's nice about, I say nice for the consumer, is that even if all of this originated out of state, because vehicles are a movable good and it's expected that if you put a vehicle into the stream of commerce that you shouldn't, or you do it in a way that you shouldn't, you can expect to get stuck in court in a location far away from you. In other words, most of the time the law says that you have to sue in the state where the defendant is located. But in these cases with cars, which we know are movable items and typically cross state lines, and sometimes you'll even see them sold on websites such as eBay, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so you still have rights against those dealers that and insurance companies who are dealing in other states.
And individuals, I presume. I'm thinking of a website that I've recently encountered called Bring a Trailer, where individuals can sell a car. So if some guy goes down there in Texas and buys a couple of salvageable cars, basically, and puts them up on one of these websites, you can sue him too, I presume, huh?
You certainly can, although that tends to be a somewhat sad situation for the consumer because it's so difficult to collect against individuals. So one of the things I would recommend to a consumer who has been cheated by an individual is to see if you can't get them prosecuted criminally. Because a lot of times part of the sentence will be to make restitution to the people you've harmed. So that's one way the consumer can help themselves.
And there may be a settlement agreement made there also, so, yeah.
Well, often the court, as part of the criminal's sentencing, will say that they have to make the person that they cheated whole as part of their sentencing. And that's so much more enforceable than trying to just get a judgment, because unfortunately a judgment is just a piece of paper until you can find a way to enforce it.
Right.
And typically, if you've got an individual, say, who's married and the spouse wasn't involved, and it's not a community property state, you can't reach the joint property.
Now, you alluded, you mentioned earlier that the consumer could get compensatory damages in addition to the actual damages for the price of the car.
Well, yes, there are a lot of different, you have statutes that apply and that in some states will provide double and triple damages. You have, certainly in Michigan, you'd be entitled to your purchase price back. And as I said, if you've got a fraud situation or a violation of the title branding statute, there's no right for the defendant, the bad guy, to get anything taken off for the consumer's use. So in other words, that's a full repurchase. If the consumer who got cheated ended up paying for a lot of repairs before they discovered the problem, or even if they had discovered it, but they were just trying to mitigate their damages by keeping this car on the road until they could get relief, they can get their repair costs back.
Mm.
If they had to run a replacement car, that's usually something that's compensable, or loss of use is compensable. And at the very least, you've got the difference in value between what you paid for the car and what it was really worth at the time.
Wow. Wow. Anyway, it sounds like if you're caught in that situation, you ought to have a good attorney. And we're talking to one, Dani LeBlanc. She's with LemonLawLawyers.com is her website, LemonLawLawyers.com. Is that right?
That's the one? That's right.
And she's in Birmingham, Michigan, and an expert on lemon law and these issues. Dani, it's been great having you with us today. Thanks for all that wonderful, deep information.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And I do recall that you're an avid and accomplished photographer as well. I would love to see some of your animal pieces sometime. And of course, we ran into you down at the Detroit Auto Show shooting for a colleague of ours. So congratulations on that as well.
Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thanks, Dani.
Take care.
And you're listening to a Shun Piker's Journal. When we come back, we're going to talk to our friend Jonathan Klinger from Hagerty Insurance in Traverse City about how this all affects collector cars. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Michigan Business Network.